Del Monte goes to a private equity group.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. A lot of families were dishing out Del Monte products for Thanksgiving, most notably canned fruits and veggies. And while that was going on yesterday, the food company agreed to sell itself to a private investment group led by Kohlberg, Kravis, and Roberts. It's a deal, excluding debt, worth about $4 billion. Now, we're all recovering, of course, from Thanksgiving, just in time to go to the malls and the department stores today. It marks the start of the holiday shopping season, the traditional start anyway. Retailers hoping for better numbers, but there's one thing working against them, the calendar. Christmas falls on a Saturday. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
If store owners could pick, Saturdays would be their least favorite day to celebrate Christmas. Gary Rosenberger is with the economic forecasting firm Econoplay.
Because Christmas falls on a Saturday means also that you're closed for half a day the Friday before. So you've lost two huge, huge days.
Many people could also take off the whole day on Friday. Britt Beamer with America's Research Group says stores will lose out if consumers take long weekends and travel out of town.
They've taken some of those vacation dollars, what they're spending to go on the vacation, out of their Christmas budget, which leaves them less money to buy Christmas gifts.
There's also some evidence that consumers may be trying to spend less. Beamer's surveys show many Americans plan not to use credit cards this year. Again, potentially bad for retailers, since studies show that consumers only spend about half as much when they pay with cash. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
In New York City, shoppers will be lining up for subway cars, buses, and cabs alike today. There are more than a dozen different taxi models crisscrossing the streets of the Big Apple. And now the city wants a uniform fleet. It's looking for the taxi of tomorrow. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports.
New York City taxi cabs drive roughly 70,000 miles a year.
We believe if a taxi cab can make it here, it can make it anywhere.
David Yasky is in charge of the Taxi and Limousine Commission. We talked in the back of a cab, which might explain why he made a point about the size of the new taxis.
The goal is to have a car that is comfortable for both the passenger and the driver, that's spacious, that's also fuel efficient and accessible for all New Yorkers, including people with disabilities.
This is the first time New York will have taxis that are designed for the job. And it's also the first time all the taxis will be the same model. The three finalists are made by Ford, Nissan, and a Turkish company called Karsan. They're all variations on a minivan theme. The Nissan's a pretty standard minivan. The Ford is a version of its European delivery van. And the Karsan is futuristic, like an elongated smart car. Tim Gross was hailing a cab in front of Grand Central Station. He looked at photos of the three candidates and said he liked the Ford and the Nissan best. But more than styling, what he wants in a new taxi is
cleanliness and, being comfortable as well.
Not to mention being there when you need one. The city will choose the winner early next year, and the new taxis will be phased in over the next 5 years. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are lower right now. Worries over European debt continue, as well as cautious eyes on the Koreas. No stock trading in the U.S. yesterday because everyone was too busy eating.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at NovoNordisk-US.com.
Wiki is the Hawaiian word for fast. In its simplest form, it means web collaboration. Don Tapscott co-wrote a book in 2007, Wikinomics, on how wikis were changing modern economics. And now Tapscott's followed up with another book called Macro Wikinomics, which expands the focus and gives some examples of global innovation. And Don Tapscott is with us now. Welcome to Marketplace.
Good morning.
Hey, refresh us on the term wiki.
Wiki is some software that enables a number of people to co-edit a document, but it's become a metaphor for collaboration, and collaboration that can occur on an astronomical scale. So if you can create an encyclopedia with 1 million people who've never met, What else could you create? And it turns out you can create physical goods, like the Chinese motorcycle industry is a bunch of little companies. They cooperate. And there's no Harley Davidson pulling all the strings. This is now a third of all motorcycle production in the world.
Where does the macro part of Wickonomics come into play?
Wickonomics was about collaborative innovation. Macro Wickonomics is about how collaboration is changing every institution in society. Many of the institutions that have served us well for decades are no longer able.
We know, Don, the internet keeps proliferating across the planet. So what, if anything, could stop these types of ideas?
I don't think anything. In fact, the current recession, it's accelerating the rate of change. It's causing advertising revenues for newspapers to decline, so they need to look at new models. It's depleting government coffers, so the governments now need to fundamentally change. I think the cat is out of the bag.
Does the fact that more people, Don, are getting involved in these, as you say, global collaborations mean we're going to, I don't know, spread ourselves too thin or make ideas less interesting or even run out of monetary incentive?
Well, no. In fact, everybody's making money. The Wikipedia model is really an exception to the rule. But even in Wikipedia, there are subtle commercial things going on. If I have someone who gives me a resume and they say I've written 40 Wikipedia articles, that tells me a lot more than that they went to Harvard Business School. It's a huge challenge for each of us to step up and don't fight the future, but to embrace it.
Well, the book is called Macro Wickonomics. It's a follow-up to the original Wickonomics book, and Don Tapscott is the co-author. Don, thank you for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure.
And finally, a British man lost his entire life savings, $126,000, after leaving plastic bags of the cash on the roof of his car and driving off. After his guard dog died, the man started transporting his money everywhere he went. The man says he doesn't trust banks. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
During this economic downturn, a lot of people have cut back. They did not pass go. They did not collect $200. But one thing they didn't stop buying is Monopoly.
It's a nice tonic for uncertainty, and it provides people with an opportunity to pretend that they're rich, even if real life is not treating them so well.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Why we all love free parking and community chest. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.